All right. Awesome, guys. So glad you're with us, man. I don't want to waste a lot of time in an intro. I just want to say thank you for being here. Guys, we entered into this new series just a couple weeks ago, this series, Inviting God. And I told you from the get-go that the goal is to discover God's heart for us and his heart for others, that we would be thinking about others. So here it is. I'm going to remind you of it on a regular basis. The goal is just to overcome our disbelief and disobedience to God's invitation to relationship and to mission. And that's what the whole series, relationship with us and the mission he's called us to, right? And so we began the whole series just with Adam and Eve and this truth that God created us for a relationship with him. And then that in that relationship, he has entrusted us with great responsibility. And we know this side of the New Testament, that responsibility is to go and to make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us. That is called the Great Commission. And guys, the Great Commission, we can't lose sight of it. It literally is just the mission of Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to make disciples. He said, you're going to do what I've been doing, even greater things than this. And so it just breaks down into these two components. Evangelism, which is sharing the good news, the gospel, that in Jesus, God is no longer counting our sins against us. And then discipling. Right? Teaching people what it means to follow Jesus, how to surrender to him daily, how to live on his mission. Now, the cool thing in our church over the last probably year and a half, we've been praying and thinking about our discipleship process. And we feel like we've put together a process that's scalable, and we believe that it can grow no matter how the church grows. But that green stuff, that Great Commission evangelism stuff, that has been heavy on my heart. Most churches don't do it. In fact, I think in most churches, even if we went with step one, which is invitation, we believe in a three-step process of evangelism. Invitation, witness or testimony, literally meaning, hey, I was blind and now I see. Here's my story, right? That's Acts 1:8 kind of stuff. And then actually sharing the gospel. So that three-phase process, most churches, just in the first step, only 2% of people in churches invite anybody else to even join them in worship. Now, we're focusing on step one because it matters, right? Here's what statistics tell us. Billy Graham Institute, 80% of people that come to know Jesus were invited to church by somebody that they know. 80%, y'all, it works. So you say, why are we focusing on just the first step? Because it works. We're focusing on the first step. Number two, because when you do it, when you go into the world, you're focused on invitation, you naturally have spiritual conversations. You end up sharing your testimony, what God's doing in your life. You may even share the gospel because God opens doors when we're focused on his mission. And lastly, I told you last week, because it's deeply personal to me, because I wouldn't be here if somebody hadn't invited me to church. My whole life changed and hinged on one simple invitation, okay? It works. It works. So that's what we're doing, man. We're just rediscovering that. Now, to do that, we've got to reframe some things because we've got some wrong thoughts in our head. We've got some wrong practices in our life. So we got to make some changes. We've got to make some shifts. And so week one was just going from disbelief, right? I don't think I can do this. I don't even know that invitation works. I don't know that I want to do it. I don't know. That's what evangelism, whatever your disbelief is, just to doing it. Just do it, right? Come on, Nike. Just do it. We said, man, if you'll just do it, you'll be shocked. And so we're starting to hear those stories. By the way, if you're actively doing this, I want to hear from you. I want to hear how it's going. Come see me in between. So tell me, how's it working? How's it going? How's the Lord using it? So that was our first shift. And then last week, we studied the life of Abraham. And we said that shift has to be, listen, we're not consumers of blessing. God has called us to be his people so he can bless the world through us. We're meant to be conduits of blessing. That what we receive from the Lord, we are sharing with others. This has to become our DNA. So here's my hope and prayer. Man, if we talk about it long enough, if I challenge you hard enough, that in 3 months we can become a church that was at 8%, which by the way is higher than the national average of 2, but that we might become a church. My hope, my prayer, where at least half of our congregation every single week is doing the bare basic step of evangelism, which is inviting others. I think as they do that, they're also going to be sharing their testimony and they're going to be sharing the gospel. I think the Lord could unleash some crazy things in this city and the surrounding cities because some of you drive in, all right? So man, that's my hope and my prayer. This morning, We're in the book of Exodus. We're going to study the life of Moses. I need you to do a couple things. One, grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, that is okay. We have a digital version. I think there you go that you can scan. But man, we want you to take some notes with us, fill in some blanks. It's going to matter this morning. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do, if you have your Bibles, we are in the book of Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Exodus chapter 3 and 4. I'm going to pray and then we're going to jump in. Father, thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, I want to step back every week and just invite you to come and fill your pulpit, that you would be the teacher of our church, that you would exalt Jesus in our midst, that you would hide me behind your cross, King Jesus, that people might see you and understand your heart clearly. I pray that you would move in power, Holy Spirit, in our minds and in our hearts, and that you might draw us to Jesus, to the mission of reconciliation, that we might embrace and believe that we are who you say we are, and that we can do what you say we can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I am in Exodus chapter 3, and the word of God says this. It says, "Meanwhile, Moses was shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. And as Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. So Moses thought, well, I should go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't this bush burning up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' 'Here I am,' Moses answered. 'Don't come any closer,' he said. 'Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' And then he continued, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord said, 'I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard them crying out because of their oppression. I know about their suffering, and I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a territory of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. So because the Israelites' cry for help has come to me, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, therefore go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses asked God, 'Well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' He answered, I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I am the one who sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain.' And then Moses asked God, 'But if I go to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What should I tell them?" And God replied to Moses, 'I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you.'" Now I'm in chapter 4, verse 10. Moses replied to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, either in the past or recently since you've been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish." And the Lord said to him, "Who placed the mouth on humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak." Three things I want to share with you this morning as we continue kind of focusing on God's heart for us and his mission for us. And here's the first. I want you to know that God seeks us out in our hiding, and he invites us to himself. God seeks us out in our hiding, and he invites him to ourselves. So I want to go back to week one. I said God created us for a relationship with him. I said God entrusts us with great responsibility in his kingdom. And Adam and Eve, Adam's naming all the animals, right? He has this big role in creation. He's to look after the garden. Said New Testament, it's this ministry of reconciliation we've been called to, right? Great responsibility. But the third lesson we learned in week one is that our failures don't disqualify us from those first two things, from a relationship with God or from the mission of God. We tend to think that. Now, Moses has failed. Moses is pulling an Adam and Eve, if I'm honest. He is hiding. He is hiding from God. He's hiding from the Egyptians. He murdered an Egyptian slave master. He got found out and he ran for his life. And where did he go? Where no one would find him, in the middle of nowhere. And we know this because of verse 1 of chapter 3. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. Moses is hiding. He's out in the middle of nowhere, and maybe that is you. Maybe that's exactly where you've been. You've been hiding, not in relationship with others. You've withdrawn. You don't want anyone to know how you feel, what's been going on, but for some reason you're here. We'll talk about that in a second. In the midst of Moses hiding, God comes calling, inviting him in. Come closer, Moses. Come to me, Moses. Come and see, Moses. God does the same thing with us. God uses things to get our attention, to bring us closer, so he can invite us into a relationship, so that he can cleanse us of our sin, so that he can put us on our his mission, so that he can give us responsibility that's so much greater than what we would settle for. And for Moses, he says, hey man, here's what I've got for you. I want you to lead my children out of slavery and into freedom and life. Guys, you know that God wants the same thing of us. Same exact story, really. We have all sinned, fallen short of his glory. We've all hidden our face from him, from others, in isolation. And yet God comes calling, saying, come to me, come closer. I want a relationship with you. I'm going to cleanse you. I've got a plan for you. I'm going to use you. And maybe you're here this morning, you're struggling with that concept. Listen, I don't know what drew you in. It probably wasn't a burning bush. It might have been a Chick-fil-A truck in the parking lot on Wednesdays. Maybe it was the playground. Maybe you heard that we love families and we love kids. I don't know. Maybe you're here because a friend invited you and you felt too guilty to say no. I don't know what it is, but I do know that God has brought you closer for a reason, and that reason is a relationship. Listen, God loves you. You may not love you right now, but he loves you. That's why he came calling. That's why you're here. It's why he's gone to the extent. You know why. You know what got you through the door. But whatever that thing was, God did that on purpose, because more than anything else, he wants to have a relationship with you. That's where we start, okay? God seeks us out in our hiding, and he calls us to himself. But then we got to kind of shift gears and see this next truth, and it's this, that God doesn't lower his standard in doing this, but he provides himself to cover our sin and overcome our excuses. God doesn't lower his standard. We're hiding. We've sinned. He wants to come to us, but he doesn't lower his standard in doing this. Instead, he provides himself for two reasons: to cover our sin and to overcome our excuses. And notice verse 4 and 5 of Exodus chapter 3. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, he answered. And then he says this, what does he say? Don't come any closer. Friends, God is holy. He is righteous. And even though he seeks us out in the middle of our failures, he doesn't just drop the bar and say, however you are, come to me. You're fine just the way you are. God lovingly seeks us out, but he never lowers his standard. Instead, what he does, listen, here's the problem. This is what the Bible teaches, that God is holy, holy, holy. Church word for that we throw around is that he is righteous. He's perfectly pure, and God is so pure, in fact, that he cannot have anything that is not in his relational presence. He can have it in his judicial presence, but not in his relational presence. And so Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden because of their sin. They were going to die because they were no longer in the presence of God, and where God is, so is his life, which is eternal. So they're going to die. The wages of sin is death. All right? And the Bible says that's all of our story. We've all sinned. We all do it. Sin is anytime I do something that doesn't please God, anytime I think something that doesn't please God, anytime I say something that doesn't please God. Kind of blew that one yesterday. Just me, right? You guys were cool. Okay. It's me. It's any time I don't do something I'm supposed to do. I don't know. Like seek and save the lost. Disciple them. Teach them how to follow Jesus. I'm not talking to anybody this morning, right? We've all sinned. Fallen short of God's glory. The problem is that all of our attempts to make ourselves right again fall short. And so we have a problem. There we are. We're sinners. God wants to have a relationship with us. But there's this distance. And God says to Moses, man, I'm telling you, I am holy. You better take off your sandals. Something is going to have to happen for this relationship to work. And eventually God's going to say to Moses, it's a glimpse of what will have to happen for us to be saved. He's going to say to God, God, like, who do I even tell them you are? And God's going to reply, verse 14, I am who I am. You tell them I am. That phrase matters because in the New Testament, God's Son, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ will come. Some people out there really haven't studied their Bible, but they like to talk a lot. Some of those people have said Jesus never claimed to be God. They don't know what the Bible says. John 14:6 is one example, but Jesus, seven occasions in the book of John, uses this exact phrase, I am who I am. John 14:6, Jesus says this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Now, why does Jesus say that? Ready? This is it. Because no one comes to God without meeting his standard. This is a problem for us because we can't do it. And so God did the unthinkable. He chose to meet that standard for us. God himself came in the flesh, born of a virgin, human being, also God, 100% both, and Jesus did for us what we could not do. He perfectly fulfilled the law and met the standard of God, which is righteousness or perfection. He also paid the penalty for our sin, which the Bible says is death. And then he did the unthinkable, the most gracious offer ever. He said, and anyone who believes in me, my death will pay for their sins, and my life will forever cover. Forever will be deposited, forever will be accredited to them as righteousness, and they will become children of God. All right? It's crazy. So God calls us to himself, he does, but he never lowers his standard. So we start there. How does God meet this? He does it for us, right? But God doesn't just overcome our sin by giving us himself. He also overcomes our excuses by giving us himself. So Moses is like, I don't know who to tell him you are even. I really don't want to do this. I mean, come on. If I say that God told me to do it, what do I do if they ask your name? And God says, here's what you say to them. I am who I am. All right? And then he says later, we'll just move on. Exodus 4:10, Moses says to the Lord, but please, Lord, I've never been eloquent either in past or recently since you've been speaking to your servant. My mouth and my tongue are sluggish. Moses is going, I'm not a great speaker, Lord. I love God's response. The Lord said to him, who placed a mouth on humans? Right? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God says again, Moses says, I can't speak. And God says, I can. I am going to use the mouth that I put on your face. I will do it. Friends, if you're here because God has drawn you close, I want you to know he wants a relationship with you. You're probably thinking, I'm not good enough. Well, in a sense, you're right. None of us are. But he has provided himself for you so that you can have a relationship with him. All you have to do is believe. We start there. But for those of you that know him, and on a regular basis you think, God can't use me. God won't use me. I can't do that. This whole go and make disciples thing, this whole evangelism, it freaks me out. I can't do it. And God says to you, like he says to Moses, who do you think gave you a mouth in the first place? I am. I'll do it. You just go. You just go. And he will do it. That's our last point, guys. So what is our job? simply to follow God's leading and to say what he tells us to say. Because those first two things are true, our job is simply then to follow God's leading and to say what he tells us to say. Verse 10, God says to Moses, "Therefore go, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." That word go, interesting word in the Hebrew. Same word that God used with Abraham. You remember last week? That word means go, but it also means, anybody? Come. And we know God is inviting him to follow because in verse 12, just two verses later, he says, "And I will be with you. Moses, come with me. Moses, come with me. I'm not sending you out alone. I'm not sending you by yourself. I'm not sending you in your own power. I'm not sending you in your own cunningness. I'm not sending you because you're smart. I'm sending you because I'm going to use you. Because I want to show you that I am God. I want you to feel me pulsating through your veins. I want you to hear my words come out of your mouth. I want you to know what I have made you for. And I've made you for this, Moses. Come with me." God makes the same invitation to us. Makes the same promise, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power to be his witnesses. We just have to follow him, and we have to say what he tells us to say. Jesus spoke to his disciples about the fact that they would be arrested, and you know what he told them? Don't sweat it. Seriously, here's what Jesus says, Matthew 10:19-20. When they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you're to speak. For you will be given what to say at that hour. Ready? Because it isn't you speaking, but is the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is who we're meant to be. A people that trust God, that follow God on his mission, and that when we find ourselves in places where fear tries to take over, we just say what the Spirit tells us to say. Moses goes to the Israelites. It's pretty crazy. They're his people, but remember, he was raised in the palace. Why should they listen to me? I was raised in the palace. I mean, I sat there and watched them be abused for years. Why? I murdered some. They watched me murder. Why would they listen to me? And God says, just go tell them I am sent you. And he says it, and it works. He goes to Pharaoh, and he goes, man, I can't go to the leader of not the free world, but I can't go to the leader of the world. I can't go to the most powerful man in the world. What am I supposed to say? My tongue doesn't even work. God's like, I gave you the tongue. I'm going to use the tongue. Here's what you say. You say, let my people go so they may worship me. And Moses goes and says, let my people go so that they may worship me. That's what God says. And he just says what God told him to say, and it works. And friends, the same will happen for you. If you will just follow Jesus on this mission that he is leading you on, he will give you what to say. Okay? So we got to make a shift. We got to make a shift. So far, we've talked about the fact that we just got to do it. By the way, a little pop quiz. How we doing? Jeff, are you in here? You ready to count with me, right? So listen, we're doing a pop quiz. Not to make you feel bad, make you feel better. Listen, week one, we were at 8% in this first service. Last week, 22%. Let's go. Now, listen, I know it's a holiday weekend. I know times are up. I know COVID's working around. You're like, I didn't even see anybody this week. It's okay. The goal's not to shame you. The goal's to encourage you. Man, we want the sanctuary full every week. So how many of you this week intentionally, you went out and you invited somebody to church, you talked to them about God, shared the gospel with them, any of those things, just raise your hand real quick. We'll get a quick head count. Okay, up, real high. Okay, one person. Okay, woo, doggies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is not good on camera. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Was that one back there? 19. Okay, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Man, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. Man, let's go. I'm going to say 50, Jeff, because I like round numbers, okay? All right, how we doing? What? 20%, 20%. Listen, I'm going to take it in COVID week where everybody I know is getting sick. Guys, 20% is 10 times better than the average church. You following me? 10 times better. Okay? We haven't arrived yet. We're still going to embrace this. We're not going to, listen, we're going to embrace it. We're going to be these people. So I just want to keep encouraging you. So here's what we do. Here's our culture shift this week. I want you to stop focusing on your weaknesses. I want you to stop focusing on your excuses. I know it's not on there, but it's the same thing. Think you could write excuses there if you don't want to write weaknesses. I don't care. It's your notes. I want you to stop focusing on why you can't. You following me? Stop focusing on why you can't, and instead I want you to trust God's strength to use you, and here's what you're doing. You are a leader. This is the mind shift, y'all. Not just a follower of Jesus, but I'm a leader of people. Because to be a disciple means I am leading other people. What am I leading them from? I am leading them from slavery. I'm leading them out of death. I'm leading them into life. God's going to use me for this. If I don't get this in my mind that he has called me to be a leader, what happens to the captives? If no one goes and no one leads, what happens to the captives? I need you to start seeing the people around you. I need you to start praying, God, open my eyes. God, I need to see the spiritual. You've got to start seeing the slavery around us, guys, the captivity. That's the call. Listen, it's not just, I mean, I'm just invited. Like, I'm telling you to invite people to church just because I'm trying to give you a very simplistic method to be thinking about kingdom principles, right? The truth is that people that we know and love and pass every day are living in bondage. And God has called us to be part of their deliverance. That's the truth. And if I don't accept that, then the world is dark. That's the truth. You guys follow me? So we've got to shift, man. We've got to shift. I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe this week you're just going to pray every day, God, help me see the actual darkness around me. God, show it to me. Open my eyes. Maybe you pray, God, break my heart for lostness, right? Something like that. But we've got to make the shift. So I'm going to give you some application. I'll let you go. Number one, I just want to challenge you to receive God's invitation. You're here for a reason. Wasn't a burning bush, but it may have been an invitation. You came through the doors this morning for a reason. There's a purpose. God wants to have a relationship with you. You can't, listen, Moses did nothing to earn this. Can we just talk about that for a second? Moses did nothing to earn this. Moses is hiding out. There's no repentance. He hasn't cleaned himself up. He hasn't paid for his sin. Like, he's done nothing. But this is the grace of God that seeks him out. That is why we are here. There's nothing we can do to earn God's favor. He invites us to himself because he loves us, okay? This isn't driven from us. This comes from him. God wants to have a relationship. He really does. Just as you are right now, not you, but Pastor, give me about 3 months. I'm going to clean myself up first, and then I think I'll be, nope, doesn't work that way. Can't clean yourself up, but God can. Just come to him as you are. Meet him where you are. God has a plan for you. He loves you. He loves you. All right? So receive that today. That's the only way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Why? Because we cannot meet God's standard on our own and by ourselves. But Jesus did it for us. All we have to do is believe. Okay, second thing. Second thing, guys. I want you to make that shift. Start trusting God's provision. All right? You can write down. That shift can be anything, but it's a call to leadership, y'all. It's a call to leadership. We need more leaders in the kingdom. We need more light bearers in the kingdom. We need more people that see that their role in the kingdom is to bring others out of darkness and into light. Like, that's the job, right? The job is not to come and to sit. The job is not to sit in the stands and to cheer. The job is to be on the field, running plays, sweating. I mean, all of it. That's the job. Right? There's no people in the stands in Christianity. The stands in Christianity are empty. Everyone is on the field. That's the call. So what are you doing in the stands? I mean, and that this for everybody. For everybody. For my students, it was so cool. I saw hands here. How many of you guys invited somebody, not just a Sunday, but on Wednesday night? Right? Look at all these guys inviting on Wednesday. Like, I'm doing it every Wednesday. That's it. Sometimes I hear from some of my older folks, but I did all that, Pastor. Acting like they retired. How old was Abraham, excuse me? Older than you? I mean it. Do I have any 95-year-olds in here this morning? He was having babies at that age. No, that's a whole nother thing. Okay. My point is, God is not done with you yet. Listen, if you're one of those people that's an empty nester and your way for learning community is Sunday school, then why are you not inviting people to whatever Sunday school you're a part of? 8:30, there's nobody else in the building. It's hot coffee and good solid conversations. We got rooms that could be filled up. God's not done with you yet. Whatever stage of life you're in, whoever you know, like this is his plan for you. Lead people out of darkness, out of slavery, into light. God's not done with you yet. Not until you breathe your last breath. Cool? All right. Make the shift. We're called to lead. Last. Embrace that leadership and invite someone to come closer to him. All right. Hey, by the way, as a church, we were sitting around 20% as a church, which is where we are in this room. I have to average the two, you know, like we have the second service. And so, you know, they were a little less than you. You guys won last week, by the way. I'm not saying it's a competition, okay? But if it were, they won week one, you guys won week two. Okay, averages out, though, okay? So we're at about 20%, which is so much better than where we were. Okay, that's twice as good as we were. We were a church 8-10%, something like that. Average in the nation is 2%, so we're 10 times better than average. I want to be better than that. So do this with me for a second. Just close your eyes for one moment. Put away your phones for 1 second, and we're just going to do a little experiment. Think about right now in your mind, I want you to think about every face that you came into contact with this week, that you had some kind of conversation with this week, every face. It's kind of walking through your week. You can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every opportunity. New set of faces in your mind. I want you to think about everybody you care about right now. Everybody that is near and dear to your heart. Neighbors, friends, people you're praying for. Okay, now eyes up here. You're the plan. I can't do it. Our social media reach isn't good enough. My preaching's not good enough. I can't relate to them. I can't just step in and go, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Because I don't have the relationship, but you do. You're the plan. You're God's plan to do this. And I know it's scary, and I know most Christians aren't doing it. We're not going to be most Christians. You understand me? We're going to be obedient Christians. We good? We're going to embrace it again. And say, God, we're going to be the light you called us to be. We're not going to be like other churches. I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care that they're not encouraging their people to do this stuff. We're just not going to be those people anymore. We're going to embrace our role. Every single person God put in your mind, these are people he wants to bless through you. God makes us his own so that he can bless others through us. That's the call. We good? All right. You can do it. You can do it. We can do it. God will do it. And I'm not sending you out alone. I'm asking you just to follow the Spirit's leading. And if every day you'll say, Spirit, lead me, he will. He will put people in your path. He will put words in your mouth. He'll give you opportunities you couldn't imagine. And then he will use them to bear fruit. Let us, please God, be that church. You guys pray with me? Father, thanks for loving us and allowing us to be here. We want to be these kind of people. God, we want to be used by you for your kingdom purposes. We want to see your kingdom come. Do a work in our minds and our hearts in Jesus' name. We're going to dim the lights, not to freak you out, but And we do have people every week that are showing up. And maybe you're having a little bit of a burning bush moment this morning. Maybe it was the Chick-fil-A truck. Maybe it was the friend's invitation. But God found you. He sought you out. He's been speaking to you all morning. You know it because there's a tug in your chest you can't explain right now. God wants a relationship with you. But today you heard there's nothing you can do to have that relationship on your own. Moses didn't do anything. It was God-driven. Today you heard that God can't lower his standard so that we can just jump into relationships. So he did the unthinkable. He met that standard for us by sending his one and only son, Jesus. Jesus lived the perfect life that we couldn't. He died the death that we deserved. And he promised that anyone that would believe in him, that anyone would that would put their faith in him would become a child of God, that they would be saved. If you're here today and you would like that to be you, today you would like to know that you could become a child of God, that your future home would be heaven, that God would have a personal relationship with you. If you feel far away and empty and tired and alone, today you want to have a relationship with God, I'm going to ask you to be brave for me. Right now where you are, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that is me. You're speaking to me right now. I want a relationship with God. Raise your hand. It's okay to be brave. Say, yeah, that's me. I want a relationship with God. I'm looking. Give me a sec. Ooh, those lights are killing me. All right. Man, thank you, sir. Anybody else? Any other hands? You may have to hold them up, guys. It's hard for me to see up here. There are lights right in my eyes. Okay. Awesome. Anybody that just raised their hand, I'm going to ask you to do me one more favor. I just want you to be really brave. Now, make eye contact with me. Just where we're looking eye to eye. I see you, bro. There's nothing magic about what we're going to do, but the Bible's clear in this. It says we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And that confession, what I'm saying is I've sinned. I've fallen short of God's glory. I can't fix myself. I'm just saying real simple prayer. Jesus, save me, okay? That's all we're going to pray. And the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but man, that really is you. You're just a little afraid. I get it. I've been in rooms like this before where I didn't want to do it, didn't have the courage. But if you'd like to become a child of God today, if you want that distance between you and God to be fixed forever, then we're just going to pray this simple prayer where we ask God to save us from our sins. We're going to do that out loud so you don't feel alone. We're also doing that because we're equipped to go out and be the light of this world. So let's pray together. Dear God, forgive me. Come into my life right now. I confess that I have sinned so much. I know that I don't deserve you. But today I heard that you love me. Jesus, today I heard you've done for me what I couldn't do for myself. Thank you. I don't know how all this works, but I know that I need you. So come into my life right now and take control and make me yours. Help me learn now how to live for you and to follow you. I will be yours. It's in your name I pray. Amen.